I'm only scheduled to be gone one Sunday during October in meetings. That will be 2 weeks from today. I'll close a meeting on Sunday morning in Kentucky and then go to my home county in Middle Tennessee and start one that night. Isaac is scheduled to begin a meeting next Sunday at his home congregation in Middle Tennessee at Adams. And then he also will be speaking on the last Sunday night in a youth get-together at
Nance Church Christ.
So that'll give you an idea of what's ahead for the month. And let me make just a few comments on one announcement that he made. Miss Dorothy Long, who is dead and whose funeral will be Tuesday and visitation, I believe, is Monday night, is a sister of Margaret Bond. I think some of us may have thought he meant Margaret Turnbull. When he said, let's keep Miss Margaret in our prayers, I guess we should. But wanted to be sure you understood that this was Margaret Bond's sister. During the time that Margaret was in the assisted living here at the Oaks, her sister would come and get her once a week. And I never saw any indication that her sister had any medical problem, but understand she has had for quite a while. And that's who it is that is dead. In Hosea, the 6th chapter, in verse 4, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. I think all of us have had the experience of waking up in the morning and there being a heavy fog. And a fog is a type of cloud. Maybe within 30 minutes or an hour, all of that is gone. Most of us have had the experience of going out in the early morning and the grass being wet with dew. And yet just a short time later, maybe if the sun's coming up at that time and it's a warm day and the sun is shining right into the yard, within just a little while, the dew is gone. That's the image that's here in Hosea 6:4. He said, Ephraim and Judah, your goodness is just like the morning cloud. It's here for a little while and then it's gone. It's just like the dew on the grass. It's here for a little while and then it's gone. I think there are two parts of the parable of the sower over in Matthew 13 that say almost the same thing. He that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receive it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth or endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He says the seed is sown. There is the reception of it with joy. Everything seems to be good. And then a little while later, it's gone. He said also, he that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and that the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Now, if he becomes unfruitful, that suggests that he was fruitful for a while, that there was something there that was good for a while, and then it changed. Our nation is affected tremendously by the drug culture. I'm not for sure that any of us really understand to what extent we have a drug problem in this nation. And one of the ideas associated with drugs is, I want something that will make me feel good. I want something that will give me a high. And I understand that those who use those drugs have what they consider a wonderful high. Everything is just honky-dory. Everything is just good for a little while. And then it wears off, and they're back down in the valley. I want to suggest to you tonight some areas where I believe this idea of morning cloud goodness will apply. I think it applies in the area of weddings and marriage. It's amazing how many good things are done in connection with weddings. How much money is spent, how much planning is arranged, how many opportunities there are to be together in pleasurable situations, how many good things there are involved perhaps in the courtship that leads up to the time of marriage. And we all would agree that usually, at least, most instances, a wedding is a very, very happy occasion. There's so many good things associated with it. We look forward to it. And we enjoy going through the process of it. And at least for some period of time, we look back at the pleasures and happiness and good things that were associated with that. But someone said, after the wedding comes the marriage. After the wedding comes the home. And sometimes after a little time has gone by, all of those good things that seem to be present at the wedding are not present anymore. And there are problems that exist and difficulties that must be faced. And sometimes there are those who will ask themselves the question, where did those happy moments go? What happened? Sometimes a wife will ask what's happened to her husband, that same man that was always ready to open the door for her and be sure that she had the things that she wanted and bring her gifts all the time, and now that's changed. There were so many good things, but it was like a morning cloud. It vanished away and it was not there anymore. You've heard me give the definition of a honeymoon as the time between I do and you'd better. And I think there's a lot of truth in that, even in the happy marriages. I heard a while back about a marriage that did not last through the reception. The marriage had taken place, and at the reception, the new husband and wife got into an argument, and she turned and said, I want a divorce, even before the reception was over. That morning, cloud disappeared in a hurry, didn't it? But the point that I'm wanting to make here is that we need to realize that the goodness that is associated with marriage is not just during the wedding. That the real goodness is that which continues in the married relationship and in the home. And that we need to be concerned that we don't concentrate so much upon what happens at a moment and during one day or a few days planning and carrying out that, that the goodness that's associated with that doesn't get away from us, and that that goodness continues. I think the same thing is true when a new baby is born. Oh, what a wonderful occasion. Especially if the baby is normal and everything is in order. So many people are happy. There's the putting of the bow on the mailbox, not only the parents, but especially the grandparents. There's the handing out of the announcements. There's the calling and getting the good news to as many people as possible. What a wonderful occasion that is, and the occasion of a birth into a family is a wonderful occasion. It is something that's good. But how long does that goodness last? How long does that happiness that there is a new part of the family last? As that baby begins to grow and there are responsibilities that have to be taken care of, and then a little later additional responsibilities, are we as happy about that part of the family as we were that moment that that child came into existence, the moment of the new birth? We need to realize that this needs to continue. Fathers are given a responsibility in Ephesians 6:4. Parents are given responsibility in many places to rear their children, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And even with the difficulties that may be, that's a wonderful opportunity. That's a wonderful part of life to be able to influence and to bring up somebody else in the family. But if we're not careful, we will put so much of that goodness and that happiness there at the time of birth. And then pretty shortly that cloud disappears and that goodness and that happiness is not there as it ought to be in the continued life and relationships. And the idea of the birth brings on another point. I think that happens with a new birth of a new Christian. We sometimes work for a long time to teach someone what to do to become a Christian. And that person decides to become a Christian. And we call the family, we call others to come in. Somebody's going to be baptized into Christ. We're so happy. And sometimes, even on that occasion, we'll sing that song, "Oh Happy Day." There's so much happiness at that point. And usually for a few days at least, maybe a few weeks, there continues to be interest shown in that person. And we'll even tell that person how grateful we are that he's a part of the church and a part of Christ and he's become a Christian. And then that cloud vanishes, that cloud of goodness. And we sort of forget that new convert. Maybe a few weeks after one becomes a Christian is a vital time. Maybe a few months after that. Like when Barnabas went to bat for Paul after he had become a Christian, and there were those who were doubting Paul on that occasion. Barnabas was there to encourage him, and that was the meaning of his name. Is it possible that we place so much emphasis on the time that one becomes a Christian and then forget them? Or the time that one is restored and then forget them? A person maybe has been unfaithful for a period of time and we've worked and we've prayed and that person comes back and asks for forgiveness and prayers and is restored and we are so happy. And usually when that happens, if the person's on the front seat, most of us will go up and congratulate and say how happy we are that they're back. And then maybe a week or two later, we forget to say anything, just sort of take it for granted that they're going to be back. Sometimes one who has been unfaithful for a while and who comes back needs that encouragement, those good things emphasized a month later and 6 months later, even more so than at the time that the restoration takes place. We're pretty good at emphasizing things on the spot. And in the early parts of these things. But many times our goodness is like the morning cloud. The sun comes up, the regular activities come about, and we forget it. There's not a one of us in here, I don't care how long we've been Christians, but who continues to need encouragement. We all need words of encouragement. We all need to give words of encouragement. And that is goodness as I see it, this relationship that we have with each other in the church. And it's something we need to continue keeping on. And sometimes you may think I'm trying to step on toes. I'm not trying to step on toes here because I think, compared to many things that I see, we have a lot of that goodness here that does continue, and I appreciate that. But it won't happen accidentally. We need to encourage our older members, especially our older members, as they get to where they have more difficulties coming in and leaving and going about the activities of life. They need encouragement. We need that goodness of Christian fellowship there that will continue for a long period of time. I think the same thing happens in both sickness and death. We have a death in the congregation, and we'll talk about the person that's sick up until the time of death, and we pray and we hope that the person will get better, and then they don't and they pass away. And we're ready to react. We're ready to do a lot of good things. We will visit. We will make contact with the family. We will prepare food. And yet, if we're not careful, after a short period of time has gone by, we tend to sort of forget that. Sometimes if a person's in the hospital for a long period of time, when we first hear about it, we'll go. Maybe several of us will go. But they stay in there for days and days and days, and we sort of forget it if we're not careful and fail to continue that goodness on a regular basis. That's the idea that he's presenting to Judah and Ephraim. You've got goodness, but it's like a morning cloud. You don't keep it going on. When a death takes place, same thing is true. And I have found by experience and observation that when someone has lost a loved one, especially a close loved one, that 3 months later and 6 months later and even after that, there may be as much or more need for people to show an interest and to show friendship than just at the dime of the day of death or the day of the funeral or a few days after that. And what I'm saying is that we need to be aware of this and we need to think about it. And we need to program ourselves to do better and continue that goodness and showing goodness one to another. I think the seasons that are coming up give us an opportunity to apply what's said in these verses. In a few weeks, we'll have Thanksgiving. A few weeks after that, we'll have Christmas. There are families where people in the family will not speak to each other, but they'll come together and eat together on Thanksgiving. Maybe they won't have any contact at all throughout the year, but they'll send a Christmas present on Christmas. And even when war's going on, sometimes both sides will decide we won't fight on Christmas Day. We'll do that part on Christmas Day that's what you and I would call good, and then the next day right back at it. Folks, we need to be careful that we don't let special days on the calendar define when we do good. You see, the very opposite of this morning cloud goodness is there in Galatians 6, 9, and 10, where he says, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. How long? As long as we have opportunity. Not fainting, not getting weak, but continuing as long as there's opportunity to do good. And I've often asked myself the question, back to that point that I made about a time of war, if two sides can quit for one day, why can't they quit for more days? It's interesting that we're going to quit fighting for a day and then tomorrow we're going to be right back at fighting. We need good things that will continue. And if we are interested enough in giving someone a gift or showing goodwill at Christmas in the family and among our friends, why can't we do that 365 days a year? And I think even in the church sometimes, we become a little bit better in our associations with each other and our fellowship with one another and getting along with one another when we come to times like Christmas and Thanksgiving. But we need more than just morning cloud goodness. We need goodness that is shown all the time. And that's true in our relationship with God. We need Christian commitment, not just at the time that we become Christians, but throughout the entire life. Have you noticed sometimes when a person obeys the gospel that that person is just ready to convert the world? Ready to do anything. He's on fire. And then, I don't know, it may be because he associates with some of us, a little while later that begins to wane, and he's not as interested. One who's ready to do anything in the work of the church and ready to get involved and going out and inviting people and encouraging others, maybe he'll invite people in his family and among his friends during those first days, come and see what I've found. And then a little later, that's not the case. We need goodness that will continue indefinitely, and not just that morning cloud goodness. As far as our programs in the church and the ministries that we have in the church, I see the same thing happening sometimes. Down through the years, especially when I was working with a larger congregation and we'd announce that we were going to do something, maybe there'd be 100 people that would indicate we're ready to go. maybe a visitation program or a personal work program. And then just a week or two later, it's down to 50, and a month later, it's down to 25, and 2 months later, it's down to 6 or 8. Why? Because there's that enthusiasm at the beginning, and it just doesn't continue. There's that morning cloud goodness, excited, sort of like the drug situation, a high for a while. But then back down to the way that we do things on a regular basis. I think you see the idea that's involved here. As we were talking about clouds, and I saw this passage in Hosea 6:4, I thought it lended itself to an excellent lesson on morning cloud goodness. We have a tendency to get excited about things, to really get involved and really apply ourselves and do something about the situation and do good things for others and good things in the Lord's service. But there's a tendency for us to let it drop as we go along. Just like the fog is there in the morning and an hour later it's gone. Or the dew is on the grass and an hour later it's gone. Or the seed is sown and it takes root, but the root doesn't keep going down and so it amounts to nothing. Or it is fruitful for a while and it's choked out with other things and it becomes unfruitful. Morning cloud goodness. What you and I need to determine is that we're going to try to serve the Lord and serve people as long as we live. That we're going to take advantage of today to do good to all people as we have opportunity, but tomorrow when there's an opportunity, we'll do the same thing. And next day and next week and next year. That we are sold on Christianity to where it becomes a part of us, maybe even second nature to us, just to do good and to serve people and through that serve God. Let's be careful that we don't let our lives be somewhat spiritually like the physical drug culture, to where we want a high and then it wears off and we're back down in the valley. Maybe again we get on a high, do a lot of good, but then it wears off and we're back down in the valley. Let's just endure to the end. Matthew 10:22, being faithful unto or until death. Revelation 2:10. Continuing and grounded in the truth. Colossians 1:23. And not just have goodness for a little while in the morning and then it vanish away, but try to make our lives lives that are good, especially in service to others. Each one of us needs to determine that he's going to do that to the best of his ability. If you're not a Christian, you can't have the morning goodness or the noon goodness or the evening goodness until you become a child of God and really put your life in his service.